We open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for God, just another day, Lord, just to be alive, just to be breathing your air, to be fed, to be sheltered, to be loved. God, we just show our appreciation and gratitude for you, to you for this day. Lord God, everything you've done to keep us safe, to keep us from harm and danger. Lord God, we thank you for keeping us in our right minds, Lord, and Lord, just having your way with us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have directed our hearts to turn to your word, just to study your word and know what thus saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word, we just ask that you speak to our hearts. God, make an imprint on our heart from your word, Lord, that we may walk closer with you. We may know and understand what your will is for our lives. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus, God, and everything he's done for us in saving us and giving his life in our place. Lord, we are grateful and we thank you this evening, Lord. Just go with us. We pray for everyone who is on the line. Lord, just have your way with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so we're gonna finish up what we was doing last week. So we're back in Ephesians. I guess I've been jumping around between chapter 5 and chapter 6. So that's where we're gonna pick up where we left off last week. So last week we were really just trying to lay down the groundwork for just talking about the new covenant, right? And the promise of the new covenant and how God had promised that he will write his law on our hearts, how he would put his spirit in our hearts. He would take out, the stony flesh out of our heart and replace it with his spirit. And that after he's done that, right, he's going to cause us to walk, right? To walk. He's going to cause us to walk in his statutes, in his judgments, right? And all of that was, we talked about last week, all of that had to do with, when the Lord gave his commandments, right, through Moses to the people, and how, they could not. And we went to Hebrews chapter 8, right? And we saw that how they could not keep the law, right? They could not keep the commandments, right? They could not uphold their end of the covenant because God's word was faulty, right? We saw that in Hebrews 8. It was because those who he gave the word to was faulty, right? So the issue wasn't with the word. The issue was with those who received the word. And we talked about the one component that was missing. And that was even this the love of God, right? Because the love of God not being in the heart, they could not commit themselves to the law of God, to the commandments of God, to the covenant of God, because that principle was missing. And we talked about how God don't want, right? He don't want us, obeying him out of fear, right? Fear of being chastised, fear of judgment, fear of punishment. How he did not want that, right? He wanted us to obey him out of the heart of love. Obey him because we love him, right? Because we love him. And listen, the only way that could happen was by him putting his spirit in us. And when he put his spirit in us, the spirit brought the gifts, right? The fruit. And his fruits. Number one thing on that list is the love of God, right? The fruit that he brings is the love. So essentially, right, when God placed his spirit within us, he placed what was missing, and that was his love, right? And now he can cause us to walk in his word out of obedience, right, and submission to the Holy Spirit. But, and listen, right, when he talk about how he's going to cause us to walk, that's not a twisting of the arm, right? That's not a beating upside the head. That's not a you know, it's not him, you know, standing over us, telling us, you need to do this. You need to, you know, it's not that, but it's the spirit. It's the spirit reminding us of what Christ has done, right? Listen, because when he talked about causing us to walk, and we looked at this, going, you go back to verse 2 of chapter 5, where Paul says, we're back up to verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior, right? And so that's the principle, right? Walk in love, right? And that's the love that he placed in our heart, right? That causes us to walk. It's a voluntary walk. It's not him twisting our arm. It's us voluntarily out of appreciation for what Christ has done, right? Just like Christ voluntarily gives himself up, right? Because he said that. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord, right? I have the power, he said, to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again, right? You know, so he voluntarily lay down his life. This is what Paul's talking about here. This offering and sacrifice, right? That's the kind of love, right? It's where I go beyond myself. It's where I go beyond how I feel. And it's I'm going beyond what I feel like doing or what I don't feel like doing, right? And remember, I used the illustration talking about the principle of love and how it propels us beyond that point when we don't feel like going beyond that point, right? But it's the Holy Spirit on the inside and that love guiding us, talking to us, reminding us of what the word says that propels us beyond ourselves, beyond that feeling, that point where I don't feel like getting up, right? I don't feel like getting up and going and doing what I need to do, right? I don't need an outside motivation, right? Because I have the Holy Spirit on the inside, and that love, it prepares me, it motivates me to go beyond myself, beyond my laziness, whatever it is that's holding me back. It's that love living on the inside, right? And that's the grand principle, right? And he calls us to walk in love, right? And then he causes us to walk as children of light, all right? Right? In verse 8, right? He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And I think what Paul is doing, yeah, when Paul used this phrase or this word light, right? Because listen to what he says. He said, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, right? proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And I think that when he talked about walking in light or walking as children of the light, that's what he's talking about. Truth. Truth, right? Truth. I think he's talking about the word, the knowledge of the truth that the Holy Spirit uses in our heart, whether it's conviction that he brings about, or it's just, or even when we're going through something, it's that light. He illuminates our heart with the truth, all right? And he brings us to that place where we can prove what is acceptable. And we're going to look at this some more, right? What is acceptable unto the Lord, right? So and that's the thing. I think he's talking about the knowledge of the truth, right? The knowledge of the truth. Because this word, the light, right? It's of truth, and it's knowledge together, right? Truth and knowledge together with the spiritual purity associated with it, right? Because that's what we were lacking, right? And that's what he induces in us, right? This purity, this knowledge of what the truth is. Because if we don't, and that's the thing. And I always talk about the Holy Spirit and the Word. They walk in concert. It's like the Holy Spirit does not do anything apart from the Word, apart from the truth, right? Everything he does according to the truth. And we'll see here, right? And so that's what we want to look at tonight. And we want to talk about this, the new covenant, and how it is applied, right? And so we looked at the promise and the grand promise of the new covenant being the promise of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Holy Spirit, right? And when Christ ascended, right? When he ascended, he gives gifts, right? And we look at Psalm 68 and verse 18, how it talks about the gift that he was giving was the presence of God dwelling among us, right? That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit. And so then we talk about the fulfillment of that promise, right? In that Christ talking about how expedient it was for him to go, right? How expedient it was for him to go. Because the expediency of him leaving was that he would send the gift of the Holy Spirit, right? For if I go not, the Comforter, he can't come. So in other words, my job thus far, right? My job here with you is done. I have to go, and he has to come and do his job, because I talk about it. All three persons of the Holy Trinity, they work. They all have a part to play in our fellowship, in our relationship with God, right? In our salvation, and ultimately our fellowship, our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is the one who joins us, brings us in union with Christ, right? And that union that Paul's been talking about here in the book of Ephesians, he's the one. He doesn't only bring us in union with Christ, but he brings us in union with one another, right? And Christ had to go. That was the fulfillment of the promise, right? And now, so tonight, what we want to look at is the application of that, right? The application of that. And that's what Paul is going to deal with, right? And Paul gives three areas, right, in our lives, beginning here in chapter 5. Three areas in our lives that the Holy Spirit works, where God causes us to walk in love, to walk as children of the light, walking in knowledge, in goodness, and in truth, right? In righteousness, and in those areas, right? It's in marriage, right? It's in marriage, it's in relationship. It's in parenting, right? Parenthood, all right? And it's also in employment. And we talked about that a few Mondays ago, right? Chapter 5 through chapter 8, all right? And those are the areas. Those are the areas where, and I'm saying that because this is where our lives involve, right? This is where you either one of these. All these three areas, you are in one of them. I promise and I guarantee you are. You are either married, or you are a child, right? You are a child, or you are an employee in the world. So you see, it covers it. I mean, this is not just the exclusive area in our lives that the Holy Spirit will work. But this is the believer's life. This is our walk in marriage, right? In our relationship with our children, or even if we're not married, right? If we're not married, we our relationship with our parents, right? Or even when we are on our jobs, right? He's working, and that covers everything. Everything else falls under that umbrella, right? And so that's what we want to look at. That's why I said, you name an area in a person's life that they're having an issue, and God has made provision in His Word to deal with that issue, right? And if we are believers, it's the Holy Spirit role. It's His job to help us with those issues, working with the Word to help us and guide us through these various issues that we may have, right? And so when we talk about a new covenant apply, right? We want to talk about LUI, right? LUI, as in DUI, right? Driving under the influence, right? But we want to talk about living under the influence, right? Living under the influence. And of course, living under the influence of the Holy Spirit, right? And listen, I didn't make this stuff up. Paul says here, look at verse 17 of chapter 5. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Literally, what he says is, don't be foolish. Or you're not foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, what Paul is saying is, if you have the Holy Spirit, you know what the will of the Lord is. To act as if to say, I don't know what God's will is walking in foolishness, walking as unwise, right? And then he says, and be not drunk with wine, right? Wherein is access, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. LUI, live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, right? As in DUI, as in like driving under the influence, live under the influence. That's what he says here. He says, be not drunk with wine. That's DUI, right? Wherein is access, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, or with the Spirit, is allowing the Spirit to have full control of my will, right? Of my will, right? Listen, this is what he said. Understand what the will of the Lord is. And the first thing I got to do is, with regard to submission to the Holy Spirit and obedience to the Holy Spirit, is I have to surrender my will. I have to surrender my will, right? And allow him to replace my will with the Lord's will. Because I know what the Lord's will is. I may not know what the Lord's will is in everything in my life, But the most simplest things, I know what the Lord's will is, right? It's a no-brainer. And those things that I don't know what his will is, those are the things that I seek him to reveal what his will is. And that seeking can be in prayer, just like Pastor Wright, he dealt with this, right? When he talked about putting on the armor of God, right? In chapter 6, putting on the armor. Prayer was one of the things, one of those armors, right? And when we're praying, right, this can be one of the things we're asking him, show me your will. There are specific things that I don't know your will about. The other things I do, some things I don't. I'm pleading, I'm asking, show me your will, right? And guess what? When I'm in the word, that's where the Holy Spirit shows me his will. In regards to something specific, right? Or anything that I may be having problem with. That's how I'm living. I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? As opposed to being under the influence of other things. It doesn't just have to be driving under the influence, right? It can just be under the influence. Like, what are some of the things in this life that we can be under the influence of, right? Things that we negatively are influenced by, right? We can be influenced by substances, right? As I said, alcohol, drugs, sex, you know, whatever it is, those things of the world, we can be under the influence of those things. And those things can guide us to a point. It can guide us. Another thing we can be under the influence of is social media, right? And that's like one of the things that you see people talk about today. Social media influencers. It's like a career now to be an influencer, social work, a social media influencer. And people turn to these people, right, for advice. They look up to them for leadership. Listen, what is a social media influencer? It's someone who has a reputation of authority or expertise in a particular area. I got this off of Google, all right? And who uses that authority to engage with large numbers of social media followers, right? So a large number. So you have, you look at some of these people, they have huge following. And these people are not following these influencers just because they just want to be in the number. No, they are really turning into these people, listening to them, getting guidance from them, getting advice from them. And I read that social media usage, right? Social media usage and turning to social media influencers contribute and it exacerbate marital problems, right? By allowing social media to influence us, eventually it will have some negative effect on marriages, right? High level of social media usage have led to marital problems such as infidelity, conflicts, jealousy, suspicion, snooping, and eventually divorce, right? I didn't make this stuff up. I was researching this. This is real. This is happening for real, all right? Spouses don't trust their spouses. Husbands don't trust their wives. Wives don't trust their husband. They snooping. They being suspicious. You know, they're looking on their social media platform, their social media pages. They seeing things that they're not comfortable with. And they, you know, they're suspicious. All of these things are leading, right? They're leading to marriages being destroyed, being destroyed. These social media platforms, the accessibility, easy on our smart devices, these apps, their access. Husbands hiding stuff from their wives. Wives hiding stuff from the husband. All of these things. And believe it or not, not all of these social media influencers, some of them do offer some good services. But the majority of them are misleading people down a road, right? That causing problems in their marriages, right? You have infidelity and you have online affairs, right? Right? And a spouse can be suspicious, and that's warranted, because it said, right? They did a survey. It says 1 in 10 adults admit to hiding messages and posts from their spouse. It says 8% of adults in marriage admit to having secret accounts, right? And 1 in 3 divorces, 1 in 3 divorces now start as online affairs, right? Social media, right? Influencers, following people, being captivated, being just grit, influence. So it's not just alcohol, it's not just drugs, it's not just sex. Social media can influence, right, and lead our lives to a point where it can be destroyed. This is why Paul said, he says, don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is, right? Don't be drunk on wine, right? Don't be influenced by outside substances, right? Outside influences. But contrary to that, be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Be filled, speaking to yourself in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I think he says that because doing those things helps us. It helps us get a grip on our mind, get control on our mind. If I'm focused on spiritual things, two things can't occupy the same space and time at the same time. If I'm focused on spiritual things, my mind, right? That's where my mind will be at, right? What did the Lord Jesus say? Where your heart is where your treasure is where your heart is. Listen, he says, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, right? Listen, if my mind is bent toward thinking about spiritual things, right? If I'm met with things that is of this world and I'm being threatened, right? This is my mindset. Turn my mind back to spiritual things. I think that's what Paul is saying here. That's why he says these things, singing songs and making melodies in your heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's another thing I came across, right? And there's a large number of Christian men who complain about their wives, right? And how their wives, they go on these social media platforms, they see other married couples, you know, doing things, right? Whether it's going on vacation somewhere way over there, and they take videos and pictures and they post that stuff on there, and some of these men was complaining about how their wives go on there and see some of these things, and they want it, right? They want the same thing. And some of these men say, look, I can't afford that. My pocket is not deep like that, right? And some of that complaint was, you know, look, that one thing that I'm not able to do, my wife holds onto it and completely dismiss all the other things that God enables me to do, right? And they feel so underappreciated because this one thing that they can't do is highlighted, right? And this, listen, this is what Paul said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? Giving thanks, even for this, we have to be thankful for where we are. Listen, if your husband or your wife can't give you something, listen, be thankful for what God has enabled them to give you.
right? Be thankful for that, right? And then Paul gives us this principle of submission, right? But first, we talk about our submission to the Holy Spirit, right? But Paul says in Romans 6:13, he said, wherefore, just read this when you get a chance, know what the will of the Lord is. Romans 6:13, right? Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is what submission to the Holy Spirit, this is what it looks like. It's a yielding, right? Listen, I cannot, and when you're talking about submission, and he's going to talk about all these other areas stem from this principle of submission. Everywhere else that he talks about from this point stems from this principle of 521, the principle of submission, right? But first, before that can happen, there must be this submission to the Holy Spirit. Because listen, I can't do any of these things that the Lord wills for me to do, right? I can't be fruitful in any of these areas if I'm trying to do it myself. Remember what he said, I'm going to be the one who calls you to walk in these areas. I can't rely on my, and this is what I'm talking about. I must first surrender my will, right? And allow him to place the will of the Lord in that space, right? I have to submit first. This is what he said. Yield your members as instruments, all right? Listen, when we're on the social media or we are influenced by substances, whatever these worldly issues are, we're yielding. That's what Paul deals with in that whole chapter. Read it. You know, yielding your members to unrighteousness instead of yielding your members as instruments of righteousness to the Lord, right? The submission, submit yourself one another, verse 21, right? And then he deals with this first area, right? Where this application, where the Holy Spirit works, right? Living under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and that's in marriage, right? He says, verse 22, I'm going to read verse 22 to 24, right? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband in everything, right? And so, I'm gonna say this: I'm not an expert on marriage. Okay, I don't have all these letters attached to my name that say I went to a very prestigious whatever university and got a degree that I can talk about marriage. I don't. Okay? But there are some things I'm married, and these are principles, right? That I've been knowing for years and have been making myself subject to the Lord to guide me and lead me in application of these principles. Do I know it all? No, absolutely I don't. Okay? But listen, we have the word of God, right? This is what God's word is saying, right? This submission. And listen, he always put Christ as the example. As the example, right? He started in verse 2, Christ being the example of love. The example of the love, that the Holy Spirit places in our heart, right? And he says, verse 2, as Christ also hath loved us. Christ is always the example. And here, Christ is again used in relationship with the church. Remember now, that unified body, right? The relationship that Christ has with his church, and his church being in subjection, in submission to him in the same way he is calling. That's the same principle. He called wives to be subject onto their own husband, right? And listen, let me read this. Husband, verse 25. Husband, love your wife, right? Look. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and give himself for it. And he have it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, right? Listen to this, okay? Listen to what he's saying. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife, love himself. For no man ever yet hate his own flesh, but he nourishes it and cherishes it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, right? Of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh, right? Listen, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let everyone, and this is the summary, right? This is why I read everything, because I'm just going to stick right here at verse 33 for now, right? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, husband, wife, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband, right? That sums it up. Verse 33 sums it up. This love, right? Because that's the underlying principle that guides in this relationship, husband and wife relationship, right? And we talk about this. It's a sacrificial love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that me as the husband have to lay down my will, my feelings, my wants, my big-headedness, my stubborn-heartedness, right? My beating of my chest, right? And I used to say this, you know, me, Tarzan, Eugene, I speak, you obey, so that I'm the man, right? I run this place. And listen, I heard Dr. Vodi Bakker. He said, if you have to tell your wife you run this place, chances are you don't run this place, right? Because that, and listen, this is it, right? I don't have, just like God does not want me being obedient to the Holy Spirit and his word out of fear of retribution, punishment, or twisting of the arm, right? But he want me to willingly obey, willingly submit. It's the same thing. It's the same thing, right? I willingly love my wife. Willingly love my wife and willingly submit, willingly, right? Die to self, right? Willingly, not expecting the same thing from her. not threatening her, not making her feel like, you know, and this is what Paul is saying. Submission from my wife to me is voluntary, right? Like my wife should not have, listen, I shouldn't have to beat up upside the head to submit. It has to be voluntary. It has to be willingly, right? And we used this illustration a long time ago, right? You're looking at a wife look at her husband, and he got all these toys, right? All his toys. You know, what men have for toys, right? The cars, you name it. He's on that iPad. Let's look at this man. He's a husband. And he's on that iPad. He on that PlayStation. He on that Xbox. Right? This is a man. And the wife look at him and she asked the question, Lord, you want me to submit to that? Right? Submission is not something that should be hard for her. Because he is walking, right? I'm walking after the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I'm walking after the guidance of the Lord and his word, right? My wife should have no problem submitting to me, right? If I'm loving her like I ought to, no problem, no problem. And at the same time, on the other hand, right? On the other hand, God doesn't say, husband, wife, submit to your husband, right? It only if he's doing good. So you see, it goes hand in hand, right? Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as Christ loved the church, even as himself. And, right? Love your wife even as yourself, right? So what's the golden rule, right? Or so-called golden rule, right? Do unto others as you will have them do unto you, right? So I'm not treating my wife in a way that I won't tolerate others to treat me, right? Do I fail the test? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, all the time. Just today, I had to take my foot out of my mouth, right? Because this is what I'm talking about, this sacrificial love, right? This sacrificing my feelings to be right, sacrificing my will to be right. Listen, I have the right to be right all the time. No, I don't. Even when I'm right, just the fact that I'm pushing that, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, right? That's that sacrifice, right? And then he says, and the wife see that she reverence her husband, right? That's that reverence and respect, right? And respect. And this is this, those men that was talking about their wives going on social media or some of them even talk about their wives watching these Tyler Perry movies, right? Tyler Perry stuff is saturated all over the place on BET. You know, it's like almost all the stuff on there now is Tyler Perry, right? These fantasy and they talk about they see that and they want that. And you can come and disrespect your husband, not reverencing him, right? Not listen, everything is not all right. Everything is not perfect. But God is working towards perfection. It's a walking. Listen, a walk takes time, right? A walk takes time. You don't just start walking and then you, boom, reach your destination. A wife should not be disrespecting her husband because of one thing that he falls short at. and totally disregarding everything else that God is doing in that man's life. And it's the same thing for a husband, right? It's the same thing. And this is why patience comes about, right? Like I said, I'm no expert on these things, right? But I'm talking about what I have already experienced, right? Moving on to chapter 6, the next stage he talks about is parenting, right? Right? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, when Paul said, which is the first commandment with promise, he's not saying honor your father and mother is the first commandment, but it is the first commandment of the commandments that have a promise annexed to it, directly to it, right? And the promise is long life, right? Long life, right? And so it's not just children's responsibility to obey their parents, but also it's parents' responsibility to teach their children how to be obedient, right? And this is primarily done not by word, right? Not so much by what I say, but how I live, right? And listen, Paul deals with this even in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Still dealing with husband and wives. Verse 18, still dealing with husband and wives. And listen to what he says in verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then he says, Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Listen, that's what I'm talking about. I, as a parent, have this responsibility, right? Being led by the Spirit, being guided by the Spirit, being under the Spirit influence, and the Spirit working with the Word. Why is that so important? I keep coming back to that. The Holy Spirit doesn't do anything. He doesn't do anything apart from the Word. Why is that important? Because my feelings, my thoughts, right? They can get in the way and trick me into thinking I'm hearing the voice of the Spirit. But this is why it is important. This is why Christ said that when he come, he will remind you of all things. He will take what is mine and he will remind you of those things. The Word, right? The Word. This is why it's important, because if I have not the Word and I don't have these things that the Word is saying here, then I can veer off, follow my own ideas, my own thinking, my own voice, my own inner voice, thinking that it's the Spirit speaking. No, it's the Spirit speaking by the Word, right? And he says here that my responsibility, right, as a parent, is to teach my children obedience. As I walk in obedience to the Spirit and to the Word, to Christ, right? That's the most important thing. That's the most, and listen, my children and people don't talk much about this. It's healthy, I think, to a point, not compromising, but to a point. It's healthy for our children to see us fail. It's healthy for our children to see us fail, because in the long run, when God has dealt with us and brought us out and through, then our children can see how God is working in our life. And we can see, and they can see where we was disobedient to God and where it's like night and day. They can see the before picture and the after picture. I'm not saying compromise before your children and me fail at walking in obedience, right? It can be a teaching thing for our children, because when they see us walking in obedience, they can know what not walking in obedience look like and what walking in obedience look like, right? And he says, don't provoke them to anger. It would discourage them. And I can direct my children according to God's word out of a spirit of anger. I'll be the first person to put my head. Have I done that? Absolutely, I have. I have yelled. I have displayed anger. And I can tell you the word is true. It is true. It does discourage our children. How can they obey me if they are discouraged? Or it's the same principle, out of love, right? And this is what I've learned over these years as a parent, as a father. This is what I have learned. This principle of obedience out of love is them doing it because they love me, not because they're fearful of what I'm gonna do to them. And that's what that anger, that's what it represents, and it discourages them. So this is what I mean when I said I have a responsibility as a parent, right, to teach my children how to be obedient, not just in word, but greater than that, in my walk, and allowing God to cause me to walk in a way that does not compromise, right? Some things in my life, right? I'm not so proud. And listen, and that's why I thank God so much, because listen, he delivered me from smoking, right? Because that was a compromise, right? And my wife always putting that before me. You know, what my sons see, what they pick up. And that's what I'm talking about. Listen. And I'm telling you, and I thank God for that, because that's the teaching of obedience that he's talking about. Now with regards to that, right? And they've seen me go through that part, that portion, dealing with that, right? Listen, deliverance come on God's time. I've learned that. No matter how I try, listen, this is what I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit. Listen, no matter how hard I try, or no matter who is pushing me, who is threatening me, who is, you know, trying to govern what I do, it happens on God's time. And when it happens, listen, now they see me walk in that disobedience. Now they can see me walk in obedience, because I'm done with that, right? And now I'm going to walk in obedience to God's word by not being under the influence that caused me to walk in such habits, right? And listen, there's so many things in our lives that the Lord delivered us from, right? That our family knew what we were going through. And they can say, I remember this, or I remember that, right? But now look at it, because it's not about this and that from before. It's about what's going on now. And of course, listen, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord, which is the same thing he says here in Colossians chapter 3, right, in verse 21, right? In calling attention to, right? That's what bringing them in the admonition of the Lord, calling their attention to what the will of God is, calling their attention to what the word of God is. It's a rebuke. But it's not one that's done out of anger. It's a warning, right? That's what admonition is. It's exhortation, right? That's what it is. It's a mild rebuke, but not done out of the spirit of anger, but it's done out of the spirit of love, right? Words that are seasoned as salt with love, right? And of course, verses 5, right? Verses 5 through 8, we dealt with that on the prayer line. So I refer you back to that so we're not, because we're running out of time here now. So you see, but even this area on our jobs, right? On our job, there is still submission. There is still this principle of submission. Listen, and we talked about this, submitting to the Lord, doing your work, not with eye service, right? Not pleasing men, but as on to the Lord. All right. He says, serve and be obedient. That's that submission. That's the same principle of submission to them that are your master according to the flesh, with feet to Christ, right? And we talk about this, right? We talk about this, how you're not doing things because you want to be on your employer's good side, right? Because trust me, you will never get on their good side. Everybody cares about the bottom line. Your company you work for, they're in existence for their bottom line. And everybody that they put over us, they're geared toward, and everything they do is geared toward, listen, you do your work, not as like eye service, because some people can just do stuff just because they want people to see them. So when that opportunity for promotion come up, yeah, you know, I'm that guy because they see what I do, right? That's not what he calls us to, right? That's not what he calls, because listen, that promotion will come and it will pass right over you. It's happened. It's happened to me, and I'm pretty sure somebody on this line can testify to that being true. So listen, and I talk about this, doing things on my job that's not my job, that's not in my job description, but if I see it, it needs to be done, I do it, right? I'm not doing it because it's eye service. I'm not doing it because I want to please someone, but I'm doing it because I'm a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, right? And listen, that's the will of God. That's the will of God, right? And going back, when he said to not be unwise, knowing what the will of God is and doing it, right? With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free, right? And then he also talks about master, right? Which is the same. He's talking about Christian employers, Christian managers, you own your job, your supervisor, you're a manager, you run a department, whatever the case is, right? You are over people. This is what I'm talking about. Every area you think of it, it's covered here, right? Master, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of person with him, right? So we have this here. But the key thing, submission to the Holy Spirit, right? We show obedience to the Holy Spirit as he remind us of what the word says in every area, in each and every one of these areas in our lives. For me, the only thing here that does not, that don't cover me is this verse 9. Master, I'm not over anybody. But in every other area that he talks about, I'm there. And many of us can say the same thing. And our submission to the Holy Spirit, remember what I said, we can't do it of our own. We have to submit to him as he reminds us of what the will of the Lord is. He's going to do it through the word, right? He's going to do it through the word. This is what Christ said. This is a promise. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you, right? This is a promise. This is his job. And listen, he works according to the word. And Paul always using Christ as the example. And I'm going to close here using Christ as the example, right? Listen, Luke chapter 4. I'm going to close right here. Luke chapter 4. Look at verse 1. It says, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, right? Being full of the Holy Ghost. And this is what Paul said. Don't be living under the influence of other things outside of the Spirit of God, but living by the influence of the Spirit of God and being under his control, submissive to him. The same being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk off of wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, right? Returned from Jordan. This was after he got baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread, right? What did Jesus say to him? Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what? Word. Every word of God, right? Right? So him being filled with the Holy Spirit, him being tempted of the devil, how did he respond? With the word, right? This is what the Holy Spirit does. He reminds us of what the word said, right? He was obedient to the Spirit as he was led to be tempted. Now, remember, it says here, the Spirit is the one that led him to be tempted. And as he was being tempted, the Holy Ghost reminded him of what was written, right? Says the same thing again, over and over again. So you see here, like Satan uses the scripture to try and deceive us, right? Listen to what he says. Listen, and verse 4, listen, I'm sorry, skip down. I'm trying to skip down to verse 6. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will. Lie, right? Give it. If thou therefore would worship me, shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt serve, right? Listen, what does he say again? And he brought him to Jerusalem, sat him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Now he's going to quote the scripture, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in thy hand they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, It is said. In other words, this is what the word said. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Right? Right? And see, Satan will use the scripture. And this is what I was talking about. This is why you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Right? Because he can use the scripture. He can use your own voice. Right? And listen, he will even try to deceive you into harming yourself. Because that's what he tried to do to the Lord. He tried to deceive him into harming himself. Listen, he wanted to kill Christ before Christ got to the cross. Right? But and how many people, listen, people who contemplate suicide or people who attempt suicide or people who even commit suicide, they do it because of the lie of the enemy. He wants to harm. But when I'm telling you, when you are listening, when you fill with the Holy Spirit, when you're listening to him, when you're guided by him, he reminds you of what the scripture said, right? He reminded Christ that God cannot be tempted, right? And listen, not only can God not be tempted, but the Bible also says that God will never tempt us, right? He will not tempt us. He doesn't put temptation in our way. So if he reminds me of that scripture, then I know, right, that God will never tempt me to do something that will bring harm to myself, right? And listen, after he tried this over and over, it says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season, right? It wasn't done. I'll be back. In other words, that's what it was saying, right? And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, right? So what eventually happened after he tempted the Lord over and over? Listen, this was that spiritual battle. This is what Paul is talking about in the next half of Ephesians 6. Putting on the armor, and this is what Pastor Wright dealt with. The spiritual warfare is happening in the spiritual realm, right? And the spirit is the one who fight this battle for us. And the sword that he uses is the word. And listen, I can't do it on my own. But listen, every time the Lord responded to the enemy with the word, it was because he was filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit was leading him and reminding him, putting the words in. He was fighting that battle through Christ, right? Through Christ. And listen, and what was the eventual outcome? He fled. Because that's what the Bible says, right? In James chapter 4, verses, read chapter 4, verses 5 through 10. But James 5, 4:7, right? James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, right? So when you submit to the Lord, to the Spirit, right? In that, in whatever the temptation is, whatever the battle is, whatever the spiritual battle is, right? Whether it's in the marriage, in the relationship with the children, it's at work, it requires submission, right? To God. And we submit to God by submitting to the Holy Spirit. And then he says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your heart. Be double-minded. Ye double-minded, right? So what is the promise here? Submission to the Holy Ghost. He puts the word. He reminds us of what the word said, right? That battle is happening. Now, I'm not standing there trying to box in the physical with the enemy or with whatever I'm going through, because that's just not going to work. And listen, I can't even rebuke him. I don't have the power to rebuke him. Rebuking him, and this is what Pastor Wright was talking about. It's not my job to fight the enemy. right? And we talked about this. You don't fight someone who is already defeated, right? It's the Holy Spirit job. And in every area, every one of these areas, my submission to him, right? And him reminding me of what the word said. Listen, that's when he's fighting with the sword. This is the sword of the Spirit, the word, right? And that's when this resistance happened. And listen, it's a promise. Just like he left Christ, he will flee. Now, listen, that and it says that, don't think he's gone forever for a season, because he's going to be back about something else. It's a nonstop, over and over again, battle. It's a consistent battle in every one of these areas. And how do we fight these battles? We don't. We don't fight these battles. We yield. We submit. We give way to the Holy Ghost. We pray, right? One of the things Pastor Wright talked about, putting on the armor, we pray, we submit, we get in the word, right? And listen, God works it out, right? He works it out on my own. Listen, I'm closing the book. Listen, misery love company. The enemy is miserable because he already knows, just like it says in Revelation, he already knows what his end is going to be. And listen, he just want to make us miserable like he's miserable. Listen, right? And in every one of these areas, listen, the battle is there. It's not a physical battle. We've been talking about this over and over. It's a spiritual battle, and we can't fight it on our own. Listen, we have to give it over to him, and he has to fight those battles for me. Does that mean I'm not going to mess up? No, it doesn't mean that. I mess up. I take my foot out of my mouth all the time, right? But listen, just know this. What does it say? The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. How do you fight battles? You don't. You submit, right? And in every one of these areas, that's where he's working. Listen, this is why God put his spirit in our heart. This is why he wrote his word on our heart, right? Because he knew we love him. We will love our fellow man. Listen, and listen, our battles, he will fight for us. He said, draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will draw nigh on to thee. I'm gonna stop right there and I'm gonna close out. Pastor Wright said he wasn't gonna be on tonight, so before we close out, anybody have any question or any comments just real quick before we close out? If not, we can close out in a word of prayer. Nobody?
Amen.
Amen. We just thank God for his word. Amen. I just pray that we made a little bit of sense. It's needful, right? Submission. Out of that principle of submission, right? Submitting yourselves to one another, submitting to the Spirit of God, right? Submit unto God. That's the first stop, right? And everything else, he fights our battle. He works it out eventually. It doesn't happen overnight. Remember what I said, deliverance don't come overnight. Amen? Don't listen. Stop beating yourself over the head trying to figure out why certain things are not working out. Are you praying about it? Are you in the word about it? Are you giving it to the Lord? Because if you are, then stop beating yourself over the head about it. Listen, he will work it out in his own good and well time, okay? Listen, as long as you do your part, submit, get in that word, get in that prayer on that knee. Listen,
He will work it out. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for the principle of submission. We thank you, Lord, for even your spirit living on the inside, guiding us, leading us, reminding us that this battle in this life is not ours to fight. You are our mighty shield and buckler. Lord, you are the host of heaven army. Lord, you are the general of the armies that fight the battles on our behalf. And ultimately, Lord, you through your Holy Spirit and your word fight the battle for us. Lord, we admit that we can't do it not only on our own, Lord, but we can't do it at all. Lord, and just we pray, God, that you teach us how to submit. Lord, you teach us how to yield. Teach us, Lord, how to walk in your statutes, in your judgment. Teach us, Lord, how to walk under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you shut out all those other things in our lives, Lord, that wants to influence us, Lord, and even reminding us of what Paul says, singing in songs, making melodies in our heart, reciting the Psalms to ourselves, Lord, getting in your mind. In other words, Lord, turning our minds to spiritual things, Lord, and depending on your Holy Spirit to just lead us, to talk to us, Lord, to echo your voice in our heart, Lord, that we know the difference between your voice and our voice. We're not being misled by our own voice, but we're being guided and led by the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, knowing what your will is. Lord, you will work everything out. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these promises. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you will help us to walk in them, depending on you. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for everybody on the line. Go with us, Lord, wherever we find ourselves tonight, whether it's be at home, going to sleep, getting ready for work in the morning. We pray for a hedge of protection. Lord, we pray that you will protect our hearts and our minds, our ear gates, our eye gates, Lord, from all the things that the enemy wants to bring in. Have your way. Go with us, Lord. We bless your name. We give your name the glory and the honor, for you are worthy. We thank you for your word, and we thank you, and we ask you these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And even for his sakes, we pray. Amen. Amen.